Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday Morning MV Pro Call. Today is December 5th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you that are listening to this via recording, which, of course, you can do by subscribing to Motor Vitality on whatever podcast application you happen to use, or by visiting MotorVitality.com, where you can listen to years and years and years worth of archives. Love having you on live, though. Love having the discussion with you guys, and I really appreciate everybody hopping back on. I hope everybody had a fabulous Thanksgiving and made it back home or wherever your destination is safely. Now we got a couple more weeks here. Actually, you know, we have two more weeks of these calls after today, and then we are going to take a break until 2025. So two more weeks of calls and then a break. Anyway, I am going to start the call off the way I do pretty much every call, which is by asking, is there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that is worthy of sharing with professionals across the country, or anything we can help you with? Any questions you might have? Nothing exciting? Anything exciting? Well, with that then, I will start the conversation with our topic today. We'll just go on right into our topic. Oh, I guess I do want to mention that I put up a whole slew of schedules for the training classes we have, installer training. So if you are looking at having installer or sales training for 2025, please let us know. Watch for those calendars, but we're scheduled all the way through the first part of next year on those. So. And they do tend to sell out fast. So if you, if you're interested, please let us know. Love to have you in our facility. But anyway, so what I wanted to do, what I wanted to talk about this week was, you know, I was out visiting my dad in California, and he loves all these detective shows. And, you know, going all the way back to things like Matlock and what's the one? Columbo. We talked about Columbo not too long ago. You know, and the questions that he asked and the way he asked them, and I mean Columbo. That it, just to watch the old shows, Columbo can be some of the best sales training that you'll ever get, just because he's so brilliant and the way he asks questions and puts together the story and stuff like that. But I really wanted to hone in today on being a detective. And what that means when we walk into a home. And I'm thinking more specifically from the sales side of it, although certainly there are, you know, there are opportunities on the service and install side. I mean, I think every time we go into the home and we're looking to serve customers, I think it's really important to put our detective hats on and try and identify some things that may not be immediately obvious to people. And there are always clues that will direct us and guide us on the direction that we should begin to present. So I wanted to just start right off with questions. What do you guys look for? What are some of the first things that you look for when you go into the home, and what does it tell you when you go? What are some of the things that the first thing you do that you look for?
My sales guys are always looking for the drinking water that the customer is purchasing from the grocery store.
So he's looking to see if there's a bottle of water around.
Looking for the 16, yeah, looking to see if they're purchasing any type of bottle water for consumption.
Mm-hmm.
Because then they work that into reverse osmosis.
Most sure.
of the time the customer already knows they need the softener, but they want to see what else they're doing in regards to different types of, you know, consumable products.
Yeah, I think that's a great one, right? You walk in, you walk through the garage, or even if it's through, I don't know, let's call it a man door into the garage, right? So you, for those of you listening to this via recording, you've got to join us sometime on the pre-call conversation. It's it can sometimes be quite interesting. Anyway, but yeah, you walk through the garage or the utility room, and you just see stacks and stacks of cases of water from Costco or Sam's Club or the grocery store, or you see the big 5-gallon jugs that they have there. I mean, that definitely gives you an indication that they, I mean, that to me seems like such a no-brainer too, because they're already spending the money and they're having to ration the water. They're not using it for everything. That one is so easy because you don't even have to ask them to spend additional money. In fact, most of the time you can ask them to save money and stop throwing all the plastic into the oceans and landfills. Or, I mean, has anybody ever met a single person who enjoyed lugging cases of water or 5-gallon jugs? I don't know if there's anybody out there in existence that puts that as one of their favorite recreational activities. But yeah, that's a good one. What else do you guys look for when you go into the home?
Areas of commonality, like do they have a pet? How many kids do they have? Do they have a sports, some favorite athlete on the wall or something like that, that you can have commonality and rapport building opportunities?
Sure. For rapport, right? And that's a big one too. You know, we've had calls about, thank you for that, Elaine. We've had calls about, do you avoid entirely religion and politics? You know, and we just came out of election season and it was hard not to, you know, when you see something that clearly makes, you know, that you have in common with that person. I mean, it was out there, you know, right now here in Michigan, for the first time since I've lived in Michigan, we're very proud to actually put out our Detroit Lions paraphernalia. The first time since I've lived in Michigan that we're actually proud of doing that. But you look for that. If people have their Lions stuff laying around, I mean, that's great rapport building and, you know, it loosens the customer up and it makes everybody feel human. So absolutely looking for pictures but I think it goes even further than the rapport building. Maybe this is what you were kind of talking about too. Looking for pictures on the wall. Do they have kids? I mean, you can get an idea of the size of their family, right? And who all is involved or who's important to them. Do they have pets is also important. How do they treat their pet? You know, what's that? Go ahead. Somebody said something? How do they treat their pets? I have walked into houses where people have those little yippy dogs, you know, and they treat them just like they would a child, like a kid. And, you know, and do they want that dog to have good water? I mean, I saw a guy when I first came in the industry. This was literally maybe 2 weeks. One of the first things I did is I went down to visit another dealership and rode with a couple guys at this other dealership. There was a guy, I mean, he's very brazen, but there was this little old lady, a completely different personality than the way I would do sales. But I couldn't believe how effective it was. But there was this little old lady, had one of those little yippy dogs, you know, one of the little dogs that wish they were actually a real dog, but like to pretend that they were. And she clearly was just totally into the dog, and she was hemming and hawing about the reverse osmosis system, just very wishy-washy about whether she was going to get it. So he just goes to her cabinet, grabs a couple bowls out of the cabinet, fills one with tap water, one with RO water, and, you know, because he carried the RO water with him, and it set it down, and that dog went and sniffed both bowls, and drank the RO water, and the lady pulled out her checkbook and wrote a check right there. I mean, it was nuts how much that dog influenced her decisions. So yeah, looking at stuff like that and looking at the way they treat them, looking at pictures, looking at things for rapport, that's excellent. What else? What else are we detectives about? Do we go in and we look at and identify?
What type of soaps and detergents can you see around
that's
the sink?
That's huge. What does that tell you, Scott? If you see, what types of things can you learn from the types of soaps and detergents that they have?
Well, a lot of people that call us out that want the contaminants out of their drinking water have oftentimes gone down the rabbit hole of the different things in the food. However, also the different things in the soaps and detergents. So a lot of times if you see all natural soaps there at the sink, walking in through the garage, if you notice like all natural soaps and detergents, you don't see Gain or Tide or anything like that, that lets you know that they are wanting to remove the contaminants out of the environment, and it gives you an end later when you do your soap demonstration of how the natural soaps will work better with the salt water, because they don't have the chemicals to treat the hard water. And if you remove the hard water, the natural soaps and detergents will work better.
That's a great point too. I like, you know, to expand that too, when you look at their cleaners, you know, if you're doing a thorough plumbing assessment and you take a look at their bathroom, which I know this always seems awkward. Like, do you go into their bathroom? People, you know, that's such a private space, but the water closet in the back of the toilet is really the best place you are going to find to get a glimpse of what's happening inside their pipes. You know, you open up the back of their toilet and look at what's happening in their tank. And even if they do a really super good job of keeping the front of the toilet clean, you can open up the back of that toilet and get a really good indication of what's happening inside their pipes. And the customers see that too, you know, when you do that, and to really do that plumbing assessment. But while you're in the bathroom, I don't necessarily suggest going through the medicine cabinets, at least not while they're looking. No, I'm kidding. For those of you new listening to the call, I don't recommend going through medicine cabinets at all. You can take a look at the soaps that they have in there. Do they have do they have glass shower doors? And do they have a squeegee hanging up in the shower? Do they have the stuff that they spray on the shower doors to keep the spotting, you know, to keep it from spotting on the shower doors? Do they have bottles of iron out around, you know, that they are using to clean? So absolutely, the types of cleaners, the soaps, detergents, that can give you huge indications of what they're dealing with. And, you know, so many people, like if somebody has grown up with a squeegee in the shower their entire life, they just do that routinely. They don't even really think about why they're using that squeegee in the bathroom. And so, you know, seeing that and being able to point that out and say, okay, this is what you're using the squeegee for. I mean, don't you hate squeegeeing? I mean, it's like, it definitely gives you information as you move into your presentation. I mean, they will tell you without even saying anything what they're spending their time and energy on and money on to treat their water before we come in there. What else? Those are excellent ones. I was hoping that we would get this kind of conversation on this stuff. That's excellent. What else do you guys have?
It's Michelle. I wanted to go back just for a moment about if they have bottled water or the 5-gallon jugs, and that you said something that struck me, that they conserve it because, you know, it's in the bottles and they don't know how much they have before they have to go out and buy more. Mm-hmm. But for someone who's Italian and cooks with a lot of pasta or people who make a lot of rice, I always wanted to use the bottled water for that. But again, I felt like, well, I have to conserve it to drink it, and I don't want to waste all that filling up a pot. So that was just 2 cents.
No, you're right. I mean, the rationing of it, thank you. I appreciate that. You know how those Italian cooks are. you would know something about that, right, Michelle?
I might.
Yeah, you might. Anyway, what else? Thank you for that. What else? So one that I always looked at, there are certain things, even when you're walking up to the house, that you can get an idea of, you know, what does their landscaping look like? What kind of car do they drive? It does kind of give you, if you've got a nice house, I mean, and you don't know this for certain by any means, but you've got this really beautiful, gorgeous house and maybe a car that's well kept, but a late model maybe, and you don't know this for sure, it's going to require more probing questions, but maybe you've got somebody that keeps vehicles for a really long time. You know, they don't always need or want the newest, shiniest vehicle, and they drive. I mean, what would it tell you if you have somebody that's driven, like me? I mean, I drive my cars until they don't run anymore. I mean, I've got a, you know, a car that still runs that's got 220,000 miles on it and have no intention of getting rid of it. I mean, what might that indicate if you're being a detective? You know, what might that indicate in terms of my buying decisions? You know, what I would purchase? What might you garner for that?
You want something that is going to be efficient, and you want something that is going to perform well for a long period of time.
Yeah, that's going to last, right? That I don't buy, you know, there are people out there that have, you know, that want, you know, they lease vehicles because they want a new vehicle every couple years, you know, or there are people who stand in line around the Apple store, you know, to get the newest iPhone every time one comes out. There are tons of people like that, okay? And that person, go ahead, somebody had something to say?
Sorry about that. That was
No. Yeah. No, so you know, that may be a different person. On the other hand, somebody like me, I want something. I don't mind paying more for something up front that's going to last for a long time. You know, I'm a guy that I don't like having to buy. You know, that was one of the things, just on a little side topic. I always found that sometimes to be the case with especially the really affluent homes that we go in, that people that kind of the middle class homes, the moderate homes, they tended to buy quality more sometimes than the people that just have so much money. I mean, if you buy a box store softener for $800-900 and it breaks in 2 or 3 years, it's not that big a deal to pull out $800-900 and go buy another box store product. You know, I mean, for me, it's a big deal. You know, if I suddenly find that I have to spend $900 that I didn't expect to spend yesterday, that's a big deal to me. I would rather spend it up front knowing that something's not going to break, that it's going to be reliable, than to have something where I'm going to have a, you know, where just out of the blue, I may have to spend another $800-900 that I wasn't aware that I had to spend. And so I sometimes find that, you know, it's a different approach with somebody that has the disposable income, you know, where $800-900 is not that big a deal to them. Go ahead. But have you guys found that to be the case as well? Anybody agree with that? You know, the other thing that I sometimes see with those customers is, you know, a water softener gets tucked down in the basement or a mechanical room. It's not something that gets seen or shown off. I think sometimes it's more effective to sell a reverse osmosis faucet than it is the actual system. In some, with some personalities, with some people, with some customers, because that faucet, that's what people see. Customers come over, you know, they have guests over, that's what they see, you know, and so they want that, they want what's seen publicly to be top notch, to look really good, you know, and what's under the sink is, or in the basement, is less important than what it looks like on top of the sink. I don't know if you guys have had that kind of experience or not, but I found that to be the case many times. What else? What else? Anything else? I have a couple others that I kind of look for. If you guys don't have them,
Kelly, I had to jump off, Paul. Did you mention? Anybody mention water heaters? Looking at the hot water side.
No. What would you look at on the hot side? Oh, I'd love it. Go ahead.
Well, for example, obviously, is there a sulfur smell in the hot?
Mm-hmm.
Are there any signs of a difference in the water quality? So if we were running field tests and looking at, I mean, we dealt with iron all the time, but sometimes you might see something on the hot side because, let's say they already had a water softener and I'm looking at replacing it. And the hot water has some elevated iron because they've got a single tank softener and They're getting up at night, like many of us do, for various reasons, and they're drawing some raw water on the nights that the softener's recharging,
yeah.
and it's giving them
yeah.
a nuisance level of iron on the hot side. It gives me a real legitimate selling point to discuss the twin tank
yeah.
softener approach.
I love it. I love the because the water heater is a history of the last few days of usage.
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah. even if the water, you test the cold water now, it's soft, testing the hot is always a good idea as well because it gives you an indication of what has been happening over the last couple of days. And if they have a tankless water heater, that's pretty valuable information to take note of as well because tankless water heaters are really susceptible to the calcium buildup and iron fouling and stuff like that. I mean, it very clearly states the quality of water that's required for those things in their manuals. So, I think that's awesome. That's very good. Any other suggestions? Well, I mean, what else do we look at? I always looked at appliances when I walked in. I looked to see what type of appliances they have. And if you know your appliances and you kind of know the warranties on them, and if you study the manuals on these things, you know, the owner's manuals on them, you'll know which ones say. One of the things that I did when I was in sales, they didn't have tablets. These days, I'd put it all on a tablet. I put them all on my laptop, though. I went online and I downloaded every PDF I could find for every manual of every dishwasher that I could find, every owner's manual that I could find. And when I walked into the house, I took note of the type of dishwasher they had. And then I would pull up the manual for that brand of dishwasher. And that's because it doesn't matter, without exception, every single dishwasher owner's manual out there talks about hard water. It talks about how much soap is required to use based on how hard the water is. And a lot of them, most of them, in fact, give you a certain number. Usually it's 12, I find, that anything over 12 grains requires a water softener or that it won't. The jet dry and the extra soap and all of that stuff won't work without a water softener. And to have the manual of the dishwasher that they have in their home say that they need a water softener, I mean, it just adds tremendous credibility to the presentation that I'm giving there, especially when you're using their manual. You know, and it's I like to have them downloaded ahead of time if I was going to use them for that because then you're not looking all over the internet trying to find it and everything. If you have them in a folder somewhere, it just makes it way easier. But the other thing is you can look at warranties. I mean, do they have – that gives you an indication of their buying habits as well. Do they have – you know, did they buy a Bosch dishwasher? I mean, that tells you that they're interested in quality and you know – do they, if somebody buys, or look around at their faucets and their fixtures and their shower, you know, their shower heads, and are these builder grade? Did they leave the builder grade faucets in there, or do they have a really nice faucet, you know, a higher end faucet? Just about everybody, every house that I've seen, especially new house, one of the faucets or fixtures somewhere in the house has been upgraded beyond just the builder's grade. And I used to say, things like, you know, if everything in your house is mid-grade, you know, a builder's grade softener might work fine for you. But if you have upgraded anything, if you have something nicer, something that's a little higher quality, you may want to consider a higher quality water conditioner. Because remember, the water conditioner is the one appliance in the home that protects everything else that touches your water. And so, you know, you can, if they've upgraded, if they've got a new Bosch, this brand new, beautiful, high-end appliance, do they want to put in a low-end water softener to protect that high-end appliance? I mean, if I buy a Mercedes, am I running E85 in that Mercedes all the time? You know, am I gonna put the lowest quality fuel in the nicest car that I bought? You know, it's kind of that same philosophy. What else? We got a couple minutes left here. Anything else that we check or look for? Even before we're having the conversations with the customers. So the other one that I was going to mention, and it was kind of in line with we've talked about this specifically on the call, but it's not only things that are going to help you in sales, but it's also things that are going to help prevent problems. Okay, so for example, you go in the basement and you're looking at it and you're going to maybe replace an old softener, but you look at the pressure tank and there's rust, you know, all up and down that pressure tank. I mean, we've got to be a detective on problems that we, I don't want to make it sound horrible, but that potentially could get blamed for, right? I mean, we've had that conversation before where, you know, if you break it, you buy it, you know, even if you didn't actually break it, if there's even remotely the perception that you broke it. I mean, I think all of us that have been doing this any amount of time know that there's those occasions where something, you know, we put in a new system and then 2 weeks later the pressure tank breaks and it was working before we got there and now it's not. Guess who gets blamed? It wasn't our fault. We didn't actually do anything, but we, you know, the perception is that we did, and it doesn't matter. I mean, whether we did or didn't isn't going to necessarily prevent that customer from putting Google reviews saying how we broke their stuff and didn't take responsibility for it. So when we go into the home, we've got to look for those types of things. We've got to look for those things that could be potential problems down the road, you know, that may or may not have anything to do with us. And it may not even have, you know, if we see any indication, you know, maybe we've got, you know, sometimes it may not have anything to do with the plumbing system at all. Maybe it's something. I mean, how often do customers go down in the basement? Maybe we see something down there that maybe the water heater's leaking. Well, clearly we don't have anything to do with water heaters, you know, unless we do. I mean, some of you listening to this might, but most of us, you know, we're doing water treatment. But maybe, I mean, my water heater was leaking for quite a while even in my house. I'm in the industry, but I hardly ever went down to where my water heater was. It was actually in a separate, it was in a completely different place than where my softener was. So I didn't even see my water heater when I went down to put salt in my softener. And so, you know, it would be awesome if somebody had happened to be down there and said, hey, did you know you got a leak in your water heater? No, I didn't. Okay. I mean, that's now, you know, people sometimes may not want to say something because, you know, does that cost you a sale? Oh, great. Now I have to fix my water heater too. Now I don't have the money to buy a softener. I mean, I that's thinking, I think. I think if we're there to help people, to really serve them, it shouldn't be an issue on whether or not we're truly there to help them. You know, we shouldn't worry about, I mean, I think people, I'd rather have somebody appreciate me as a professional and somebody who genuinely wants to help them than somebody who, I don't want to be the person who only is thinking about what I want to sell, but it's just me. All right, final 2 minutes. Any final thoughts on this or comments? Anything else? Well, those of you that are getting hammered by snow over the next few days or have been hammered, please be safe out there. With that, I will talk to all of you next week, if not before. Be safe, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks very much.
Thanks.
Have a great day.
Thanks,
everybody.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.